Amen. I tell you what, I'm ready for some ice cream. I don't know about you, and I'm thinking about coffee-flavored ice cream. Amen. How many like coffee-flavored ice cream?
Yeah.
How many like, okay, good, most of you. How many like chocolate ice cream? Who likes chocolate?
Yeah.
Chocolate. How many like chocolate ice cream with brownie chunks in it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who likes cookie dough ice cream?
Yes.
Yep. Yep. One of my favorites. Who likes moose tracks? Moose tracks. You know what I saw the other day? I was sitting in McDonald's and I was looking at the Wiener Schnitzels. I was sitting at McDonald's looking at the Wiener Schnitzels menu, and they have cereal flavored milkshakes. Come on. You can't get any better than that. So I just made some money for Wiener Schnitzel, I think. I don't know. Hebrews chapter number four, continuing our series on prayer. On prayer. A biblical pattern for prayer, part number two, tonight, Hebrews chapter number four. If you look with me at verse number 14, the Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Look at verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Would you read that verse with me? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Ready, begin? "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." This morning, as we were getting into the message, I made a comment. I said this. I said, how many of you would like maybe next week or the week after for our church to have a Derek Carr Sunday? Only nobody. Does anybody know who Derek Carr is?
No idea.
A couple of you do. He's the quarterback for the Raiders.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how about now? Several of you, maybe if you like the Raiders. Okay, I figured a couple hands, some that are saved tonight. What if we had a LeBron James Sunday? Meh. Nah. Maybe. I saw one guy. Nah, me, I would. Okay, you pick the hero. You pick him or her. Who? Joe Montana. Is he still alive? Somebody else. Stop it. Somebody else. Come on now. Yes. Spider-Man. Woo! Who else? Come on. Captain America. Hey, we have all people in our minds. Okay, if you could meet one person, anybody, if you can meet somebody, anybody, alive or dead, who would it be? Brother John? Ronald Reagan. That would be awesome. Who else? Let's just take Jesus aside. Obviously, we want to meet Jesus. We will meet him. But I'm talking about somebody else, like famous or yes, Daniel. Bob Ross. Okay. Caven. Rutherford B. Hayes. All right. Gandhi. Okay. Come on now. Come on now. Come on. Yes, ma'am. Helen Keller. That's a good one. Come on now. How about the staff?
Donald
Come on,
Trump.
Staff.
Donald Trump.
Abe Lincoln.
He said Abraham
nice.
Lincoln. That's who I would like to meet.
Nice.
Abraham Lincoln. Who else? Who else? Come on now. Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Hansen. David Livingston. That would be a good one. Yes, Sam. Roosevelt. Boy, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Yes. Moses. Moses led God's children. Yep, Moses. Boy, that'd be a... When you think about all these things, you think about people that you'd like to meet. Now, there's some you might. Now, if we had a professional football player or a professional basketball player come, we would have an amazing day on the buses. I'll tell you that. People would come to see that. And there might be some young people here that would love to get the opportunity to meet Stephen Curry and all these people. I understand that. But let me give you this thought. Anytime, any day, you can talk to the King of Kings. Did anybody catch what President Trump said today? That was amazing. You ought to watch it. Amazing what he said about Jesus and all this. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. And there might be somebody say, I'd love to get a chance to meet, and I'd love to have a chance. I don't think there's a person in here who turned down an invitation to shake hands with the president. But let me tell you this. You have an opportunity to pray to the King of Kings anytime. We can boldly come before the throne of grace any day, anytime we want to. Well, we have the opportunity to talk to the King. Mark 14:37, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter and Simon, he said, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Let's say that together. Couldest not now watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. The goal of this study, I want to give you 12 points, focus points in prayer that you can write down. And I'm at the end of this study, 4 week study, I'm going to give you a bookmark you can put in your Bible. It'll have each step. And listen, if you take 3 to 5 minutes on each step, you'll pray an hour just like that, just like that. And I'm telling you, praying, some of us say, you know, praying an hour, that's too much for me. You don't have to do it all in one shot. You can do it 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. You can do it if you can in the morning. I like to do it in the morning when it's quiet, because once my kids wake up, it's over. And so the goal here is to develop a biblical pattern of prayer. How many in this room would admit with me tonight, I could work on my prayer life?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. How many would admit with me tonight, how incredible God could work if we would just pray more? Oh, he could. Father, I pray that you bless the message tonight. Lord, how we need to work on our prayer lives, how I need to work on mine. Lord, I thank you that this morning as we spent time together, I prayed, Lord, for 30 salvations. And Lord, today I think we had 30 saved. I wish I would have prayed for more. But Lord, I pray that I am thankful that you answer prayer. I thank you, Lord, that some folks came today that we've been praying for. I thank you, Lord, for those two young ladies that were saved that I've been praying for. Lord, there's things that we're praying for, and help us to have a better prayer life. Help us, Lord, to develop a better prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In our text, Hebrews chapter number 4, the verse tells us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I was thinking about our prayer time and going through these points. And listen, let's just go back before we rehearse what we talked about last week or recover what we talked about last week. And let's think to ourselves tonight how important it is that we have access to the throne. Amen. I don't know about you, but there are moments. Brother Prez, I appreciate that text. He sent me this. He said, I'll see you in the battlefield. Amen. I love that spirit. Hey, we're fighting a battle. Amen. Amen. Spiritual warfare. And I'm telling you, we have to be in our prayer closets before we go out to the battlefield.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you folks here have, you teach a class, first to third grade boys. I had a church member tell me, I don't see him tonight. He told me today, he goes, Pastor, and we've been talking about him possibly teaching. And he said, Pastor, he goes, as you're thinking about where I'm going to serve, he said, do not put me in the first to third grade boys class. And because he helped in that class today. And I'm just simply saying, I said, brother, you'll be fine. A couple weeks, you'll be all right. But we don't let people out. Amen. We just push them back. Nope. Lock the door. Listen, we have to approach that throne of grace before we enter into the battlefield. Staff, we need to be in our prayer closets before we enter into the battlefield. Sunday school teachers, we need to be in our prayer closets before we enter into the battlefield. Senior saints, we need to enter our prayer closets before we go into the battlefield. Teenagers, where are you at? Raise my hand. Teenagers, all my teenagers. Listen, raise your hand. You need to be in your prayer closets before you enter into your battlefield. We have to go into our prayer closets. We have to have a prayer life. We will not win spiritually unless we win on our knees. So last week we talked about, number one, the first stop was praise. Praise, we talked about praising God for his attributes, praising God for his acknowledgement, having adoration for the name of God. Psalm 63:5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. We ought to praise the Lord. That ought to be our first stop. Remember, praise brings God into our focus. How many of you right now are having a hard time focusing? Boy, it's tough for me sometimes. And I'm like a squirrel with ADHD, man. I'm like, and sometimes it's hard. I was praying this morning, and it was kind of early, and it was dark outside, but we let the dog out to, you know, do what dogs do. And so I let the dog out, and I'm praying, I'm having a good time in prayer, and all of a sudden the dog did something, and something fell over or slammed against the wall, and boy, I shot up, and I ran outside, and I'm looking around for somebody breaking in, and the dog's just standing there like, it was me, duh. It was me. But boy, it's so easy when we're praying to get distracted, but praise brings our focus right on God. And then there's the pause. We talked about the pause. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know. A silent soul is a surrendered soul. Listen, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need to stop. But when I start praying, you hear that? Silence. How many of you have kids still at home? We don't know what silence is. It's clamoring all the time. Mom, so-and-so won't chew his food. Mom, eh, you know, and it's constant. And then some of us have dogs now. Anyway, but sometimes we just got to pause and be still and silent and let our heart come into focus with God. No multitasking, amen? Be still. I understand that listen, if you're on a commute or you're doing those things, that we want to have a spirit of prayer. But there is a time and a place that we should spend alone with God, and pausing is part of that. Then we talked about personal confession. Personal confession. No rushing, no generalization of our confession time. And by the way, the more you do this, the easier it'll get, because the shorter your accounts will become. When you first start out, you're going to have to spend some time doing some soul searching. Amen? Amen. And by the way, if God puts something on your heart, deal with it. Amen. Don't think about it in your prayer time. And then when you get up, that was my prayer time. No, deal with whatever God puts on your heart. Maybe it's something you've been doing. Maybe it's something you've been listening to or whatever. But deal with it. Personal confession. Excuse me. Psalms 139:3. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting." How many of you pray that when you're praying? Search me, O God. Search me. You know, sometimes, how many of this ever happened to you? You'll be in your prayer time, and you'll ask God to search you, and He shows you something. Isn't that amazing? That's God speaking to us. Listen, since you asked, boop, by the way, don't ask your wife that. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Search me, O wife. Show me, Lord, what's wrong with me? Listen, too many of us are cavalier about our Christian walk. We're just, hey, whatever happens, happens. Hey, hopefully things will work out. Hey, I'm just going to come to church, and I'm just going to do my thing, and hopefully people get saved, and hopefully I get something from the message, and hopefully I have somebody comes because I passed out of track. Hopefully. No, listen, if we're going to have spiritual results, we have to have a very specific prayer time and a very specific things that we ask of God. One of those things is confessing our sin. The Bible tells us that if we have anything between us and God, He will not hear us. And so we must confess our sins. Dr. Halsbury, a man who taught prayer in a college, said this. He said, "The carnal mind will always instinctively and automatically mobilize every possible reason it can possibly conceive for not praying at a particular time. For example, you're too busy. Your mind is too preoccupied. Your heart is not inclined towards prayer. Later on, you'll have more time. Later on, your mind will be more calm and collected. Maybe later, you'll be able to pray because you'll have a more of a devotional frame of mind. Before we know it, the entire day is gone, and we have not had a single quiet minute with Christ." Boy, how many have found if... Listen, I was talking to one of our ladies, and she said, "Pastor, I have to set an appointment with God, and I have to keep that appointment with Him." Because how many of you found, if you're trying to find the exact right moment during the day, it never comes. And so we have to set an appointment with Him and say, "Okay, God, I'm doing it right now. I'm going to do it right then." And so personal confession is part of that. So let's get into the other three tonight, if we can. If you're taking notes, you can write them down. If not, hopefully you can remember them. And so personal confession. Next, we wrote down here, pray promises. Pray promises. Jeremiah 23:29. Would you turn there? Jeremiah 23:29. Pray promises. Hey, there is power in the Word of God. I know you're turning in your Bibles. You didn't hear that, but I'll say it again. There is power in the Word of God.
Amen.
There's power. How many of you like to pray scriptures? If you look at Jeremiah chapter number 23 and you look at verse 29, look at what is said here about God's Word. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? God's word is compared to a fire and a hammer. Jeremiah is comparing God's word to how God's word would burn chaff and how God's word would dispel the false doctrine, how God's word would burn away false thinking and burn away untruth, and the power of God's word and how it will burn truth into our minds. Now listen, if we do not stay in God's word, our minds will go crazy. We will go crazy. I've talked to church members that have been in and out of church or even out of church, and the stuff that they say blows me away. It's not biblical because their mind has gone crazy. Listen, God's word keeps us on track. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sean Hannity doesn't keep us on track. I don't have anything against him necessarily, but we can listen to Sean Hannity. That's fine. But listen, if we're not reading God's word, that's what keeps our truth on the right track.
Amen.
And so Jeremiah, God is saying, listen, my word is like a fire. It'll burn away things that we should not be thinking. It'll burn away things that are false doctrines. He compares it as a hammer and how the hammer would hammer a nail. God's word, listen, every time we need an answer for something, God's word is like a hammer. It'll drive home the truth in us. Now, put that into your prayer closet. Let me give you an example. The verse that we read tonight, Hebrews chapter number 4. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help and help in time of need. Now I want to ask you a question. Have you ever needed help in a time of need? How about you pray that verse right there? God, I need your help. I need your grace. God, I'm coming before you boldly because I need you tonight. I need you this morning. God, help me. I need grace in the time of need. The Bible tells us in Psalms 9:10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Those that seek the Lord in Bible reading and in prayer, those that try to find Christ, listen, we can find Him. We can get our answers to prayer. But listen, when we add prayer, when we add the promises of God, the biblical Bible verses and things like that, and when we add those things to our prayer, listen, it adds power to our prayer. How many of you have ever heard the verse, Romans chapter number 8? All things work together for good. To them that know God, to them that are called according to their purpose. Listen, add that to your prayer time. God, I'm hurting right now. I'm hurting, but I know all things work together for good. To them that are called according to your purpose. Amen. I'm just saying, adding scripture, adding God's promises to your prayer. You have to have a promise to add it to your prayer, by the way. I said you have to have a promise to add it to your prayer. So that means you got to read your Bible. Amen. And so listen, God, I tell you what, there is no encouragement in the world today. Zero. None. Although I have to say I was pretty encouraged about what the president said today. But there's very little encouragement out there. You get discouraged about this, discouraged about that, man. You look at your, don't check the mail, amen. Just leave the mail in the box, amen. And don't check email. But listen, there's not a whole lot of encouragement. We need to be in our Bibles every day. That's where we get that encouragement from. How about the Comforter? How about the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost? Listen, pray, God, I need your comfort. I need your help. I think about the book of Psalms, how David said, I have cried unto thee and thou hast heard me. I read the verse this morning. Thou hast helped a poor man, this poor man. And I thought about myself, you've helped this poor guy. You've helped me. And boy, how if we add those promises to our prayer, it'll add power to our prayer. So number one, pray the promises of God. And then number two tonight, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Would you go to Colossians chapter number two? Colossians chapter number two. Colossians chapter number two, look at verse number four. Well, I'm going to start verse number one. For I would that you know what great conflict I have for you, Paul is talking to them at Laodicea, for as many as not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, there's some wisdom and knowledge hidden in the treasures of God. Amen? Verse number four. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joy in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As our walk with God grows and we become rooted and grounded, we become established in Christ. And it's important that as Christians, that our walk with God becomes established. Amen? It ought not be that we have a wishy-washy walk with God. We ought to be established and rooted in Christ. Now, let me apply this to our prayer time. When we come before God and we pray, praying in the Spirit is very important, because when we come and we pray in the Spirit, we ought to be steadfast in our prayer, during our prayer time. I don't know about you, but how many of you have ever been praying and all of a sudden you're thinking about something else? Or you're praying and all of a sudden you find yourself on your phone. Or you're praying. And so when it comes to our prayer time, listen, praying in the Spirit is actually having a connection with God, and we're praying in the Spirit. We're praying in our walk with God. We're remaining steadfast as we pray in the Lord. Two things about this. Letter A, spiritual alertness. Being alert spiritually. Being awake, being vigilant. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I think about how we pray sometimes and it's so rote. Lord, I pray for the food. Thank you, God, for that. And sometimes we pray for our kids. And I understand that there are prayers that we pray all the time, right? When I pray for my kids, I always pray the same thing. At night when we go to bed, I always say, Lord, thank you for my kids. Thank you for mommy. Thank you for daddy. Thank you for Marshmallow. That's our dog. And Lord, I pray that, you know, and I go through the whole thing. Keep us safe. How many do have prayers like that? Yeah. And then when you pray for your food, Lord, thank you for this food. And so on, right? Well, listen, in our prayer time, we need to be praying in the Spirit. We need to have some earnest about us, some spiritual alertness about us while we're praying in the Spirit. Not just saying words, God, bless so-and-so, bless this and that. And it's important to do all that. But listen, I'm telling you, there might be somebody on your heart. I think you lost a button here, brother. Sorry. Well, have something on your heart. Maybe somebody that you're praying to come to church and get saved. God, would you save them today? Lord, pray that you bring them to church today. I'm talking about praying with some spiritual alertness. Lord, I pray for my bus route. I know Satan's going after some of those kids. God, I pray that they would come to church. Lord, I pray that they'd be here today. Keep their dad away from them. If their dad's going to take them out of church. And boy, we have some spiritual alertness about us when we're praying. We're not just, Lord, I pray that, and we're going through the motions. And I'm talking about having a vigilance in our prayer. Like we're trying to get something done in our prayer time. Sometimes I think we might be putting God to sleep. Amen. God's thinking, are you even thinking about what you're saying? And so spiritual alertness. Think about your marriage if you're married tonight. For those of you that aren't married, don't think about your marriage. Anyway. But listen, if you go on a date with your wife, right? Your wife wants you to be alert. She wants you to be in tune with what's taking place at the date. Amen? Sorry, Dad. My dad's squirming over there right now. Don't go to restaurants that have TVs. Not a good idea. Amen? Your wife's talking to you. Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. No, she wants you to be focused on her, amen? Of course. And so they want that attentiveness. Now listen, when we're praying and our walk with God, and while we're reading our Bibles and while we're praying, it's important to be spiritually alert as we walk with God. It's not just I've been doing my devotions for a few years now, and so have you. And I understand, not every day is like, oh, I got something from God today. I understand all that. Some days you read your Bible and you pray and you move on. Amen? But listen, we're alert. We're asking God, God, show me something today. Show me something. And some days you're in the book of Leviticus. Amen? Okay, God. and the fat thereof. Amen. And the flanks and the kidneys and all that stuff. Amen. How about I start looking like I'm going to pass out. You start talking about kidneys. But listen, let's not be so ritualistic. I was reading some things about Billy Graham's funeral and the different things that happened with that, and just kind of reading some things. And I was reading this part that happened, and they had different people get up and speak at the funeral. And a man got up. His name was Reverend George E. Battle. And he got up and he said a few things, and then he prayed. And then he said this. He said, "Please remain standing until you're told to do the next thing." And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? Sometimes that's what our prayer life needs to be like. Amen. What do you want me to do, God? Just, I'm going to stay here until you tell me to do the next thing. What do you want me to do, God? I mean, what? Show me what you want to show me out of your word. What do you want me to pray, Lord? But pray in the spirit. Have a working relationship. Like a husband and wife, they ought to have a conversation. They ought to be able to talk and converse back and forth. It's not just one person talking to a wall or the other person falling asleep while the other person's talking. But there's a relationship working back and forth. Our relationship with God ought to be that way when we're in our prayer life, but praying in the spirit. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is being vigilant about getting you, about taking you down, about ruining your life. We have enough working against us. Amen. We ought to be vigilant in our prayer time. When I joined the Academy of the Sheriff's Department, Yavapai County Sheriff's Department, we had to pick a motto for our little class. I think we had 8 guys in the class. 8 months of training. And so we had to pick a motto. And so we went back and forth. So here's what we picked. We picked ever vigilant, never complacent. That was our motto. So, you know, they'd make us say that. Ever vigilant, never complacent. And so we'd say that a lot. And I've told this story before, but one day during my training, I was doing my thing and going along, and I was checking in inmates. And when you get arrested, for those of you that have been arrested, they take pictures of all your tattoos. And one guy came in, And we took a picture, and we said, "Do you have any more?" He says, "I have one more, but I don't want anybody to see it." And we said, "Well, what? Why not?" And he goes, "Well," he goes, "I don't know what's going to happen to me if anybody sees this." So we're thinking it's probably a swastika. We don't know what it is. And so he pulls up his leg, and he's got a bust of President Obama on his thigh, just a full face right here in full detail. Anyway, I thought it was funny, and so we took. He said he lost a bet. Anyway, we were doing that. We were pulling people through, taking pictures and doing all that stuff. And we had our gear and we had what we were supposed to have. And we all were supposed to have a pen. And so I'm going along and I reached in to get my, just like now, I reached in to get my pen. I left it sitting over there because I can't keep a pen for more than 2 days. My pen was gone. And it was a metal pen. And we were checking in inmates all night. And so, that means somebody could die is what it means. And so we're going through, and my training officer, his name was Meisenbach. He didn't fool around. And we're going through, and I thought, I'm going to get fired. This is a fireable thing. I'm going to get fired. I'm ready to go. So I just went up to him at the end of my shift. I said, Meisenbach, I need to talk to you. He goes, I see. And it was funny because he was a big guy, but he had a high voice. Yes. Yes, Delzell, he said. I said, I got to tell you something. He goes, what? I said, I lost my pen. Some inmate in this jail has my pen. And he looked at me and he goes, if you didn't tell me that tonight, I was going to fire you. He goes, if you didn't tell me that, I was going to fire you. He pulled out my pen and gave it to me. He found it somewhere and kept it. And he said to me this. He said, somebody's kids could have lost their dad because of you. He said, because listen, we're not checking in kids that, people that just grow pot, we're checking in murderers and people that are insane. He said, somebody's wife, somebody's husband could have been killed tonight because of you. That's what he said to me. Because you weren't being vigilant. Vigilant. Now I want you to think about our prayer time. Praying in the spirit. Being vigilant. Having spiritual alertness in our prayer time. Who is counting on us in our prayer time? Who's counting on you? Who are you praying for right now? Some of us, we go soul winning, we lead people to Christ, and we never pray for them. I've done it. Some of us, we have family members that we've stopped praying for. Hey, me too. We need to be vigilant. Amen. Praying in the Spirit. Spiritual alertness. The next, spiritual watching. J.C. Ryle said this, I comment to you the importance of praying spiritually. I mean by that, that we should labor always to have the help of the Spirit in our prayers and be aware above all things of formality. There is nothing so spiritual, but that I may become a form, that it may become a form. And this is especially true of private prayer. What he's saying is we ought not to get wrapped up in formality, but when we pray and we do it in the Spirit, it will become so much a part of our life. It'll just be natural for us to pray. Romans chapter number 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Aren't you glad tonight that the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer time? Oh, He helps us. Sometimes in prayer, we hit the wall, don't we? We hit the wall. We don't know what to say. We don't know who to pray for. Listen, the Holy Spirit knows. I found very deep, dark parts of my life, and you have too, where we don't know what to say sometimes. God, I don't know what to say about this. I don't know even what to ask for. But the Holy Spirit comes along and helps us when we're praying in the Spirit. So pray in the Spirit. And then next tonight, pray intercessory prayers. Pray intercessory prayers. How many know that it's important to pray intercessory prayers? Oh, that's praying for each other. Praying for one another. J.C. Ryle said this. He said, prayer has obtained things that seemed impossible and out of reach. It has won victories over fire, over air, over earth and water. Prayer opened the Red Sea. Prayer brought water from the rock and bread from heaven. Prayer made the sun to stand still. Prayer brought fire from the sky and Elijah's sacrifice. Prayer overthrew the army of Sennacherib. Prayer has healed the sick. Prayer has raised the dead. Prayer has procured the conversions of countless souls. Oh, how important it is that we pray intercessory prayers. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Intercessory prayer is vital. We ought to have a very active, a very up-to-date, a very worn-out intercessory prayer list. Amen? I mean, we ought to be praying for people. I think about right now, Tommy and his wife. We ought to be praying for them as much as you think about it. He's laying in a hospital bed. Went up there yesterday. His eyes were open. They have him off sedation. Tubes in his mouth. He can see. He can hear. He knows what's going on. But he's dying. And oh, how he needed prayer. I went up to him yesterday. And he saw me. And he just kind of looked at me. And I prayed over him. And then I walked away. And I was talking to the wife. And he kind of rolled his head over. And he's looking right at me. His son was standing here. He was looking right at me. And he kind of raised his hand, raised his foot at me. So his son goes, he's looking at you. So I walked back over there. I said, Tommy, what can I do? And he's just staring at me. And I reached out and I grabbed his hand. I said, you want me to pray for you again? He squeezed my hand. So I prayed again. I'm just simply saying we ought to have a very, very active intercessory prayer list. I think about Mrs. DeLuna tonight. She had that surgery on her finger and the one knuckle released from the other, causing severe pain. Had another, this is the third or fourth surgery she's had. I'm praying for her that it heals. And others, we could go on and on and on. I'm thinking about Mrs. Oster. She sat right here today. Amen. Stage 4 cancer. Praying for her. I'm just simply saying, on and on and on the list goes. I think about Bruce Hoffman, who went in for a double knee surgery, fixed one knee, cut open the other knee, 14 staples in his other knee that they did not fix. Opened it up, flatlined on the table, had to get the paddles, brought him back to life, closed up his knee. I mean, he needs prayer, amen? He's doing good. But I'm simply, people like that, I think about the multitudes of people that got saved today. We need to pray that they get baptized. We need to pray that they get in discipleship. I'm just simply saying there's so many things that there is to pray for. Ian Bounds said this, prayer must be broad in its scope. It must plead for others. Intercession for others is the hallmark of true prayer. Prayer is the soul of the man stirred to plead with God for men. Pleading with God for someone else. Intercessory prayer. Pleading for God to do something for somebody else. I find that myself sometimes, I pray for myself too much. And I'm asking for myself too much. But intercessory prayer, how important that it is. I think about, we get all upset, and I'm going to close here in just a second. But we get all upset and all worked up about political things and things in our culture. We think about the gun thing going on right now. And by the way, we're all for guns. Amen?
Yeah.
We're all for the rights of the Second Amendment, the First Amendment. We're for those things. But we get all worked up about that stuff, and we should. We get all worked up about laws, and we get all worked up about these natural disasters, these school shootings. But the question is are we praying? Our city council has 5 members on it. Steve DeBrum is one of them. Debbie Moorhead and others. Are we praying for them? They're making decisions for Manteca. I think about those that live in Stockton. Tracy, are we praying for them? Are we praying for our president? Are we praying for our senator? Do we even know who our congressman is? Are we praying? We get all worked up about gay marriage and marijuana being legalized, although some of you are probably okay with that. But marijuana being legalized, us being a sanctuary. Oh, it's a sanctuary state. We get all worked up and we say that, but are we praying? Are we praying? Listen, God can move mountains.
Amen.
When we pray. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I realize how little I can really do, how pathetic my efforts are. But man, when we get in that prayer closet, spend some time with God, let God do the work. Amen? Let God do the lifting. To be mightily used of God, we must first understand a fundamental principle of spiritual power. Listen to this. What we do for the Lord is entirely dependent upon what we are in the Lord. Further, what we are in the Lord wholly depends upon what we receive from the Lord. What we receive from the Lord is directly proportionate to the time we spend alone with the Lord. Oh, how we want to be used spiritually, but we need to walk with God. If we seldom talk with God, it indicates He plays a second role in our lives. Soon, the world commands more of our attention than God does. Adam Clark warns us this. Apostasy begins in the closet, in the prayer closet. No man ever backslid from the life and power of Christianity who continued constant and fervent in private prayer. He who prays without ceasing is likely to rejoice evermore. Oh, these are some powerful statements about prayer and how we need to be in prayer. Here are the 6 things we've given so far. Praise, pause, personal confession. Pray promises, or pray scriptures, pray in the Spirit, and pray intercessory prayers. Amen? Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.